Welcome back to Targum Yonason on the Parsha with Daniel Eisenberg, and Mazel Tov to all Klal Yisrael for finishing Sefer Bamidbar, and especially those who joined us from the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar for Targum Yonason. Mazel Tov on this accomplishment. Let's start Sefer Dvarim. The Dvarim starts off, Eila ha-Dvarim asher diber Moshe el Kol Yisrael be'ver yardein. And then it gives some more descriptions of where Moshe is speaking in the Midbar, Ba'arava, Mol Suv, Ben Paran, Ben Tofel, Lavan, Lachatzeros, Vidi Zahav, all these different places and descriptions of places. And Chazal tell us, you don't have to go all the way to Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason says, but really it's already in Unkelos, and Rashi quotes it, and it's, various Midrashim, that Moshe is actually giving a rebuke to Klal Yisrael. And Targum Yonason starts off saying that Elaine Piskame Achahusa, that these are words of Tochacha. So Targum Yonason doesn't even wait a moment. Targum Unkelos waits at least like a few words in before he says Ochach Yesahon. He rebuked them over certain events that took place. And you look through Rashi, and Rashi is quoting Sifrei and other sources in Chazal that point out what these tochachos were, all these places, different sins that were done, complaining in the Midbar, and Bein Paran, Uve Bein Tofel Velavan is when they complained about the man, Vachatzeros is the rebellion of Korach, or at least according to one pshat, or possibly what happened with Miriam, and Di Zahav, and the Chazal speak about this being a reference to the Cheta Egel. But when you look through Targum Yonason, so it's a very lengthy translation of this first pasuk, and it's interesting to try to figure out what exactly the flow is of these topics, and also another point that Targum Yonason adds that I haven't seen in Rashi isn't quoted, I haven't seen in Sifrei. I looked through the Sifrei that Rashi is quoting, and I did not see it. So some chidushim of Targum Yonason, and maybe something we can try to gain from that. So Targum Yonason, it's a long one, so I'm not going to read the whole thing now. But he says that this is the rebuke that Moshe gave to Klal Yisrael. Then Targum Yonason explains that Margon Hala b'Madrot b'Tavra d'Sinai Yisivis L'Chon Araisa, you're given the Torah, and so many nisim happened for you. Frishan Avad L'Chon Kuch Abrichu Uzman Davar Tun Al Gei Yama D'Suf. Then it says, it talks about some of the miracles that were performed for Klal Yisrael, and then it gets into their complaints. Right, Vargas Tun Kadamad Befaran, you made me very angry in Paran, and there's Mile Shikra, Visram Tun Almana, Daachis Lachon, Chivar, Minshamaya, and the white man that fell from the heaven, you complained about it, Vishel Tun Bisra, Bachatzeros, and you asked for meat inappropriately in Chatzeros, right, we're talking about Kibra Sataiva, and then it says, and it would be fitting for you to be completely destroyed or removed from the world if it was not for the schus of your righteous forefathers, umashkan zimna, and the olamoid varon kiyama, and the aron umana kudsha dachamisun dahavasanina, and the holy kalin that you covered in gold, meaning the kalin of the Mishkan, the chaper lechon al chovas egal dahava, which atoned for you over the sin of the golden calf. So this is the basically what we have in Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason says he gave them a rebuke. He reminded them of various sins that they did. He gave a few examples of complaining, lying, and complaining about the man, and asking for meat, and then saying you should have been destroyed if not for the schus avos and the schus of the Mishkan and the schus of the Aron and the schus of the kalim that you covered with gold, which atoned for the chet ha'egel. Now, the as I said, Sifrei doesn't mention this point. It mentions some of the sins that they did. Not all these sins are interpreted the same, but it mentions these are the sins that you did, but not that, and you would have been destroyed if not for these things. So what's the purpose of Targum Yonason adding these extra things? And what is it about these things? Like, it's an interesting list. We have the Schus Avos, we have the Mishkan, we have the Aron, and the other Kalim. And also it says that atoned for the golden calf, But the golden calf took place earlier than those other sins, and this last sin is like separated. It says that, like, you know, this was atoned for. What about the earlier ones? And I'm not fully sure what the answer is, and you could suggest maybe something along the lines of that each of the sins in particular, that at least within Targum Yonasan that's mentioned, it connects to one of these points that are, I guess, points of kapara. For example, the first thing that's mentioned, the first sin, is that they angered Hashem in Paran, al meimra al alayo tfaltun aloy milei shikra. That's right, the word, the complaints and words of falsehood that were done in Paran, meaning chetam raglim. So the schus avos maybe was what countered that, because remember one of the main themes of the Avos was the promised land, and especially with Avraham Avinu, that this is going to be your land, and Yitzchak, don't leave the land, this is your land, and Yaakov, you're gonna leave the land, but you're gonna come back to the land, and Ufaratz the Yama Vakim and Tzvan of Enegba. So when they do Chet Maraglim, it's a rejection of the land, but if it wasn't for the Schus Avos, had such a love for land, they would have been completely destroyed. And you could say, you know, further, for each step, if they're complaining about the man, and their source of sustenance, but you go back to the Mishkan, and they're deciding to draw their sustenance from Hashem, and then ultimately you got down to the golden calf, where the golden kalim atoned for that. It's a proper use of the kalim. But it could be just, more simply, the golden calf could be mentioned at the end. Sifri seems to indicate that was really like the worst one, in many regards. And it's a fair argument to make that the Chet Egel is the worst one, and that really had to be rectified. So that's why it's mentioned a little bit later on than the other things, even if it's not in exact chronological order. But these points of Schus Avos and the Mishkan and the Aron and the Kalim, like, what does that mean? And I think what it might be is that the Schus Avos is a reminder of what Klal Yisrael are supposed to be. That's when they had that there are these amazing tzaddikim who had a relationship with Hashem, and the Shechina essentially rested on the Avos. And when Klal Yisrael looks back at that and says, this is what the relationship used to be, that Hashem would rest on the Avos. They would be living with Hashem constantly. So that memory is not just for Hashem, but it's for Klal Yisrael to try to build back. Why is it a reason for Hashem not to destroy them? Because if they have a memory of Schus Avos, if they have a memory of the greatness of the Avos, then they can also have something to say, hey, you know what, this is something we can get back to or try to achieve or a North Star to try to follow and reach this Madrega. When you have that hope and those aspirations, so then you can turn things around as long as you're Makaba the Musser. And then when you get to the Ohel Moed, right, it says the Avos and the Namashkan Zimna, the Ohel Moed. And without the Aron, interestingly, the Aron is the next point. But the Ohel Moed on its own is a place of meeting, of interacting with Hashem. And that we kind of needed that. You know, the Avos kind of were like a walking Ohel Moed. Right, the tent of Avram was like an Ohel Moed itself. That they had this, the Sada of Yitzhak and the Be'er of Yaakov, Chazal, you know, connect to the Batei Mikdash. That the Avos like had like a personal Beis Hamikdash, a personal Mishkan, and the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't as much. But you know, after mentioning the Avos, a Mashkan Zimna, an Ohel Moed, that a place where they can go to have a relationship with Hashem, the Aron Kiyama. And the Aron at the center is the Torah. You know, the Avos weren't given the Torah, but Chazal tell us in some regards they were able to keep the Torah or live the Torah. And you know, there's a midrash quote several places that like Avraham's organs like pumped out Torah, that he understood the Torah. Klal Yisrael needs an actual Torah, an Aron holding the Torah to be able to know what Hashem wants and to live that way. But we have that. And the mana kudsha da hamisun da hava sanina, that we have kalim of the mishkan. It's not just the aron, is something that guides us in a more practical way, meaning like a more tangible way. Like the aron is the like the thought and the brain of the mishkan, and it's out the the deeper inner recesses of a Jew's heart, and then on the outside of the menorah and of the shulchan and of the mizbeach haketores and the mizbeach hanechoshes, of what you do with that and bringing that out into the world. So that's through the other kalim, the kalim that are covered with gold. So it kind of, there's kind of this this regression or progression of these madrigos that people can connect to of a relationship with Hashem, starting with the Avos, who didn't have a physical Mishkan, didn't have a physical Torah, but had Hashem, his presence resting on them, going down to the Mishkan. And then you go down to the Mishkan after the Avos, and that's where there's a physical manifestation, a place that you can go to house the Shekhinah, because it's not necessarily on every person themselves. And then there's the Aron, because a little bit more practical of, you know, if just because you have a place of meeting, but what does that mean? But the ideas that are manifest in the Torah, which is, you know, a more direct guide for what Hashem wants from us. And then even more, just like the physical actions that are represented by the Shulchan with Lechem upon him, the menorah, meaning not just the written thought of Hashem in the Torah that's housed by the Aron, but the actions of the Torah. And that can bring us to having the proper thought of the Torah, which could bring us to a place where we can meet in the Omo, which could bring us back to the level of the Avos, having the Shekhinah rest on us directly. And this is, of course, a tikkun for the Chet HaEgel and the Kapara for it, because it's first of all using gold the proper way. So that's a proper use of gold for Kedusha, but also, you know, the Egel might have been trying to create a new, try that idea of a physical manifestation of godliness, of a place to meet God, to be able to carry God with them. And really, it's the answer is that it's within them, and they just have to build up levels to be able to get back to the Avos. And that's the purpose of the Musar here. The purpose of the Musar is not to break them and to say you should be destroyed, because really you could have been destroyed, but there's a saving, not just a saving grace. This is the gateway to redemption, and justification of them not being destroyed is that they have the ability to connect back if they focus on it. We should be zocha to reach that level, to be makabel the muster of the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av as a reminder of what we can achieve. We should be zocha to be able to have that Olam Oed once again very soon, though not just an ohel, a temporary structure, but a bias. Shei banu beis hamikdash b'mehirah imenu.